Do you struggle with how to pray? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is A Simple Way to Pray. It's written by Martin Luther and translated by Matt Harrison. A Simple Way to Pray costs less than $2 plus shipping and handling. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase A Simple Way to Pray by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A Simple Way to Pray, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January.
No matter what we choose to believe, there's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being.
Where I think we are in the culture, but also with religious institutions, is that people have stopped hating us, that is to say LGBT people, but they're not yet ready to celebrate us. That's the next big work to do.
Maybe it's something as simple as you whistle while you work.
Just whistle while you work.
Mega churches are a house of cards. Mega churches really are the primary example of what's wrong with evangelicalism, why it's so thin, so insubstantial, so unsatisfying.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
In a matter of days in Washington, D.C., we're going to watch Washington all come out. I was watching some news over the weekend. They were putting together the podium, just the place where the inauguration of the next president for his second term, President Barack Obama, will take place. It is a big deal. His first inauguration was a big deal. This one is expected to be as big a deal. And a lot of people are ambivalent about inaugurating this president for a second time. They were ambivalent about his election the first time. Disappointment? I don't think that really covers the ground when we talk about even getting away from the election by a month or so. The disappointment lingers for many people. How do Christians respond to election losses, even the really, really big ones? Is good government still good government? And as Paul would say, a gift of God when the elections don't go our way? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Monday afternoon. It's the 14th of January. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor George Borghardt will join us to talk about a Christian response to election losses, something we need to listen carefully to. Dr. Robert George will join us after that. We'll talk about a defense of natural marriage, an argument for marriage from a purely sociological, from a purely secular viewpoint in terms of the public good. It's something that we desperately need, and we'll get that in the second half hour of Issues Etc. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @IssuesETC. Pastor George Borghardt is a regular guest. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled, What If My Guy Lost? George, welcome back.
How's it going?
I know that you live and die by college football wins and losses, but why did this election, this political election, mean so much to you this last time?
Oh, I got three kids. I got two boys. One of them's starting high school. The other one's, in middle school. I mean, the future of our country is kind of important to me. I was worried about the debt. Am worried about the debt. I mean, we're mortgaging our future. Not to mention, I mean, that doesn't even start the life issues and marriage issues and social issues, all of them. And it was election on choice. And here we had an opportunity to sort of change the direction. All right, at least it seemed like we had a chance to change the direction our country was going in, or we could continue going the same way we were going. And it was a pretty important election. At least to me.
So,
honestly, my boys too. My boys got into it as well.
So honestly, what was your reaction when President Barack Obama was reelected that night?
Oh, I was pretty stunned. I mean, it got serious in my home. I mean, we were watching the debates and I was screaming at the TV like it was a sporting event. I was watching all the news stories. I'm watching the exit polling. I'm watching the pre-polling and stuff like that. And we were really optimistic going in that it was actually going to change, that something was going to change, that Obamacare might be repealed and good stuff might happen. It just didn't happen. And as it sort of day went on, it became more and more clear what was going on. The last few presidents that were elected, I mean, they pretty much turned the TV on, sit in front of the TV until we knew who the president was, and of course we voted. Got to vote. Can't complain about the election unless you voted. And so, you know, we did this thing that I even voted early in Illinois, and I would have voted often, and I could have probably done it in Illinois too, but that would have been illegal. So, as the election returns came in, it became more and more clear that America was going pretty much the way we had gone in the past, and that why we got optimistic when we know the gospel was beyond me. But it also was a reminder of that God gives these things to us as gift, that we neither earned nor deserved. But our leaders come to us as gift, and we are to pray for our leaders, even the ones that we didn't vote for.
Now, I want to get there in just a minute, but first of all, let's deal with kind of the enthusiasm. And for a lot of people, it does become like sports. Politics does, especially in a general election. They obsess over it. They think about it all day long. They follow all the polls. I've done this before. I don't do it so much now as I get older, but I've done it before where I just it is like watching the playoffs or something like that. Is that necessarily, I mean, speaking as a pastor, George, is that necessarily a healthy thing to do?
Well, I've never considered myself a healthy individual. Just kidding. No, there's an idolatry. Okay, there's an idolatry that's involved in sports, and it's involved in politics, that we somehow can control the universe by the information that we get, that we somehow have an ability to affect the universe. Now, as we sort of watch a sporting event, we really don't have any sort of control over the universe. The thing's going to come to us as gift either way. I remember one time we were watching an LSU baseball game, and my mother came in and said, LSU just taken a lead. It was in the College World Series, and my mother came in and said, I feel sorry for that opposing pitcher. He looks so sad. And, of course, the other team came back and won. And so we banned my mother from sporting events. Like, she had some control over that. That's the idolatry, the superstition. But when it comes to elections in America, because of the government that we have, because of the gift of God of this great country that we live in, we have an ability to choose our leaders. We have a say in who is elected, from all the way to down to the sheriff or the city councilman, all the way up to the president of the United States. We have an ability. And so it's necessary for us to be informed, but there can become an idolatry in which we sort of are trying to predict the universe or control the universe by means of the information we have. This occurs in any sort of political system as well. It happens in church politics, where if we can just get the right votes and the right thing, well, then everything will work out just right, and it'll work out our way. And we just line it all up, and we play the game, and it'll all work out. As opposed to faith and trust, which believes that God's going to, in Christ, work all things out for our good, whether we win or lose. Notice that's different from Calvinism, which is based on God's almighty power. God's all powerful, and He's going to. So when bad things happen, we just it's going to work out. God's in control. No, God in control stuff is not comforting at all. Here we're talking about in the cross of Jesus. Because of the death and resurrection of Christ, we know, we believe that all things are going to work out for our good, whether we win or lose. So if we win, we win as a gift. And if we lose, we lose as a gift from God. Even His judgment is a gift to us. So if He judges us, in faith, because of the cross of Christ, because of the cross, because of the resurrection, because of our life in Christ, because God did not spare His Son, even judgment is gift from Him. And so we take all of this, rather than obsess about it, and we can receive it from the Lord's hand as gift in Christ. I hope I made that clear. I don't want to sound Calvinistic. It's all about God's mighty power. Ugh. Ugh. No, it's all about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that makes even losing a gift.
With a few minutes before we take our break here, George, you mentioned we do have the ability, the privilege, the gift, if you will, of it in our country being able through our vote to somehow affect the outcome. It's a small effect, but it is a cumulative effect. Talk about the ability, and we really do take this for granted as 21st century Americans, Christians living in America, that, you know, this is a really rare gift to be able to actually have some input into what our government will look like. You got about 2 minutes before our break.
We go into the polls. We have an opportunity to select our leaders. Now, we may feel like our vote doesn't count, or that there may be things that go awry with counting of votes. But really, if you sort of take a look at it, it's a crazy gift. We select who the leader of our nation is, and we select who our mayor is, and we select who our governor is, and we select who our representatives are, and they govern for us, and they answer to us. The government is our government in America answers to the people. We're not ruled by a tyrant. We're ruled by someone who, in a bit, is going to be elected again. The wonderful gift, the sacred trust the Lord has given us in America to go in and vote, is something we shouldn't despise. In fact, it's a fourth commandment sort of responsibility. We're given this gift, and we're given to exercise this gift. Now, we shouldn't despair when this gift means that, you know, we get what we want, which is, you know, we look at our Christian faith and we go, well, everything that we believe as Christians was rejected. We shouldn't despair of it. We say, okay, what's God trying to teach us in all of this, and what's his judgment in all of this? But it doesn't change the sacred trust of voting, and what a great gift that is from God. That's good enough.
Pastor George Borchardt is our guest. When we come back, we'll have 10 more minutes with him. We're talking about a Christian response to election losses on this January the 14th. It's Monday afternoon. We're coming to you live. He's pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues, Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor George Borchardt is our guest. He's author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled, What If My Guy Lost? We're talking about a Christian response to election losses. Now, you've said it here several times that God gives us our leaders. Where do you get that idea, George?
Well, that's That's from Romans. It's in. I mean, we're to pray for our leaders, that our leaders come to us as a gift. That's in Romans, which means, this is an interesting thing. We choose our leaders in America, and God gives us what we want. Now, hold up a ticket here. If we're like, okay, my guy didn't win. Well, the guy that we wanted in America won, and that tells us something about America. Tells us something about our culture, and it tells us something about a Christianity in America, which is in decline clearly. And so we got a leader and we got a direction that we're headed that we wanted, and God gave us. And God said, "Well, that's what you want. Well, here's what you got." And He's done this before. The Israelites wanted a king; they wanted to be just like all the other nations. They're like, "We got to have a king. We got to have a king." It's like, "Well, God says, I'll be your king. I'll be your God. You'll be my people. It'll be okay." No, we want a king. Well, a king's going to tax you. He's going to take your wives. Oh, we want a king. We want a king. And so He gave them what they wanted. They didn't reject Samuel. They rejected God. And so a lot of times our leaders come to us as a gift because, well, this is what we want. In America, this is what we want. And so now that doesn't change the fact that we're given to pray for our leaders. See, here's the thing. The guy that won is the Barack Obama. He's our president. And we're given to pray for him every day. We're given to pray for him in church. We're given to pray for him in our private prayers. We're to pray for our leaders, even the ones that we didn't want to be our leaders, because the scriptures command us to pray for our leaders, and we're to receive them as gifts from God. And we're to remember also in our time of despair, because that's the thing that happened to me afterwards. I was like, oh, I'm done. You know, I'm done with politics. I'm done. You know what I'm talking about, Todd? Just done.
Oh, yeah. You write it all off and you say it's sour grapes, right?
Right. Right. It's the fatalism of you can't fight the government. That's despair. Forgetting the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Which means that in not getting our guy, and he wasn't a perfect guy, he was just the guy that we were going to settle for, but in not getting our guy, we realize, well, you know, we have a king. We have a king who didn't raise our taxes. We have a king that doesn't borrow. We have a king that isn't for the slaughter of infants or for the putting to death of old people or the lame. We have a king who died for us. And if you need to know who he is, the sign right above his head, INRI, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, my king, your king too, and that's the king that's going to save us on the last day. Getting our guy into whatever place that we want him to be, whether it be the synodical president or whether it be the president of the United States, isn't going to fix our universe. Because the reality of our universe has already been fixed in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, which means we're freed from despairing concerning who our leaders are, whether we get the guy that we want or not. We're freed to live under him in righteousness and purity forever, and to receive this life as gift. And if the future clouds up and is dark and filled with death and debt and taxes, well, that's what we wanted, because that's what we elected, but that's also what the Lord gave us as gift, and we receive it as gift. In faith, not in fatalism. Oh, I can't do anything about this. No, you continue to fight it. You fight for what you believe in, but you receive all the more the certainty that more than taxes and debt and slaughter of the innocent is the death and resurrection of Christ, which is going to carry us through unto life everlasting. So whether we win or lose, we've already won. In the death of Christ, in the resurrection of Christ. We've already been raised from the dead in our baptism, which makes us free to live this life in faith that God's going to carry us through, not because he's all-powerful and mighty, but because his son has paid our debt, and his son died, and we have been raised with his son. And it also frees us to pray for our leaders and pray for the miraculous thing of them being somehow different than they actually are. How we expect anything other than godless from godless people is sort of optimistic. But we pray every day that they would rule us righteously, and that they would protect the innocent, and they would look after the poor, and they would care for those who aren't able to be caring for themselves, and that they would protect us from outside elements that would harm us. First use of the law. And we pray all the more that they would somehow see things in a godly sort of way, all the more knowing that whether they do or not, we have a Jesus, our King, who rescues us.
Now, someone's naturally going to say, look, I know what Romans chapter 13 says and talks about all authority being given by God and the ministers of God for our good and punishing evil and rewarding good and things like that. But can you honestly tell me, Pastor Borghardt, that President Barack Obama, with all of the just blatantly anti-Christian ideas that he has, I'm not talking about against the religion in general, but on the issue of life and marriage and all these things, he's a gift from God?
But you can only say that in faith. And you remember Pontius Pilate, as sort of Pilate stands in front of Christ, pagan. And Christ says, well, you wouldn't have authority over me other than my Father in heaven. You know. And so if Jesus can submit to the governing authorities, and he's the Lord, he does that for us, we too can submit to our leaders as well and pray for them to be something other than what they are, and know for certain that when they're not, our Lord's going to carry us through nevertheless. See, this is not us trying to change our culture to make it Christian, because the reality of the universe is that the universe is already has a Christian king, as Jesus. The real world is where Jesus is king, and that's where we put our faith and trust in. We put our faith and trust in the world in which Christ died on a cross for us. And if we live in that world, then the leader that he gave us, that we chose, has to come to us as gift, because the one who rules all things, who bears those scars, that's the deal. It's not a gift that he rules all things. It's a gift that he bears those scars as he rules all things. He's the one that gave us a gift of Barack Obama. And if in 4 years we think, oh, this is not the direction we want to go as a country, well, then we'll have an opportunity to do that sacred thing again and walk into the voting booth and vote again. But until then, we'll be praying for this guy who is our leader. Again, I need to repeat it. The universe does not get made right by the right guy being placed into any office, even in the church. The universe is already right because of the death and resurrection of Christ. We're going to watch this worked out in our lives as he does good works through us, which isn't really us doing them, but him, in our lives for others. So we got to run from the idolatry of the right guy is going to fix everything, because we already have the right guy. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And we'll put our faith and trust that he's going to work these things out for our good. And not just for our good, but for the good of those around us.
Before we let you go, George, you are a conference executive for the Lutheran Youth Organization, Higher Things. Tell us about this summer's conferences.
This summer's conferences are entitled From Above, Jesus' words to Nick at Night, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're going to name him Anothen after the Greek word for that's used in John 3, but nobody wants to come to a nothing conference. From Above is better. There are three conferences, Scranton, University of Scranton, July 25th to 28th. Purdue University, July 9th to 12th, and Pacific Lutheran University, July 16th to 19th. That Purdue conference is already about 65 to 70% full, so be aware of that. And what we're trying to do is to teach our young people to be Lutheran by being Lutheran. Even with young people, so confirmed and above, all the way into college, dare to be a Lutheran, worship as Lutherans, receive Lutheran teaching, and be taught Lutheran doctrine. And have a blast while you do it. That's Higher Things, higherthings.org.
Folks, you can find out more about this summer's Higher Things youth conferences all over the country at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor George Borghardt is pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in McHenry, Illinois, and he's author of an article in the latest Higher Things magazine titled, What If My Guy Lost? George, thank you very much.
Thanks a ton, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to turn to the subject of the defense of natural marriage. The real question is, it's not a question of what laws will be passed, per se, because the biggest issue that we face as a nation, as we watch this definition of marriage, a strong, well-mobilized, well-funded attempt, not just to pass laws, but to redefine the institution itself, to fundamentally redefine it, not just to change a word here or there, or simply to change from man to woman, woman to man, but to redefine the institution of marriage, we've got to ask the question, what is the thing in the first place that some are trying to redefine? And we'll do that right after this with Dr. Robert George of Princeton University.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains four lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.